The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Good morning and welcome to Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. The first hour is the time you can check in and let us know about things which are of concern, things which are bugging you, maybe something that you have seen, which is pretty good too, you know, one way or the other. Pebble in your shoe could be a pebble that's just bugging you because you got to get something out there, or bugging you because it's really irritating. One way or the other, we'll take care of it. 770-563-3770-KMED. By the way, my email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com. Hans Albuquerque sent me an email this morning, and I he's did a pretty pithy one this morning. I don't know who Hans is, but something tells me he's a heck of a guy or a heck of a woman. I don't know. It's he's been anonymous. This individual's been anonymous for many, many years, been writing the show. And I just appreciate this. And it comes on the heels of big, adoring coverage yesterday as Governor Tina Kotek signs new law making drug possession a crime again and says business as usual cannot continue. And she signed this package of bills, and it makes minor drug possession a crime again and is just pumping millions of dollars into mental health and behavioral health programs, officially marking the end of the state's short-lived and politically tumultuous experience with drug decriminalization. This according to the Oregonian, the Oregonian's Noel Crombie. So Kotek signs HB 4002, but not before meeting with a whole bunch of groups, including prosecutors, defense lawyers, the state's chief justice, and the Department of Corrections in an effort to outline her expectations of what comes next. Kotek writes in a letter Monday to Senate President Rob Wagner and House Speaker Julie Fahey, success of this policy framework hinges on the ability of implementing partners to commit to deep coordination at all levels. What kind of a word salad is that? Senate Bill 5204, the other bill signed by Governor Kotek, sets aside more than $200 million for programs and projects intended to expand access to substance abuse treatment, including jails, mental health services across Oregon, includes funding for substance abuse prevention education. Translation, buy lots of more Narcan. I know I might be just slightly cynical, you know, about this, because we are talking about an Oregon state program doing investments. HB 4002 makes possession of small amounts of hard drugs a misdemeanor crime again. A misdemeanor, right? Now, this is the way Hans looked at it, and I agree with the way Hans looked at it. This is the way that Dwayne Junker looks at it. This is the way that everybody else looks at it. Bill, reading the summary on HB 4002, it appears that this reversal of Measure 110 is the slimiest of wordsmithing to achieve a PC fake fix, a faux fix. It truly shows off the evil political word inbreeding, purely designed for prototypical Multnomah knuckle draggers' continued voting. First of all, it has now become a misdemeanor. Ooh, scary, writes Hans. Yeah, you see through the wordsmithing, right, Hans? Okay. Number two, it enables cops to confiscate, not mandates them. Now, see, it's very interesting he caught that, because it's absolutely right. Other critics I've had on the show have mentioned the same thing. It enables police to confiscate. So they're allowed to confiscate. It doesn't mandate that they confiscate the drugs. Number three, it also establishes ways for treatment versus straight-up jail time. Hans writes, knees are shaking now. Number four, it encourages cops to create. It encourages, once again, not a mandate, it encourages police to create deflection programs as if they have all the time in the world for that crap. What a joke. At least eight in the Senate and seven in the House went against it, but Helfrich and Canope did not and licked the boot. Sorry, gang, nothing will change except political chest beating in Salem. Hans, I can't disagree with you, because it wasn't exactly like they cracked down and got tough on drugs. It just got a little less easy, is what they did. Because remember, in all of the bipartisan chest beating, as you mentioned in your email. By the way, this is an email of the day sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Crowns while you wait. About 30 minutes in-house lab, okay? centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Just wanted to make sure and get that shameless plug because we are all about capitalism, especially my sponsor's capitalism, okay? But anyway, Hans saw through this, and I was mentioning this yesterday with, you know, another aspect of this so-called crackdown on drugginess and homelessness and how the people from All Care, the coordinated care organization, big one in Grants Pass, they want laws changed to enable people to build more homes in rural communities. Well, we're not able to build homes in rural communities because of state policies, state land use control. But you'll never have the progressives that are running the coordinated care organizations come out there and say, you know, everything that the government's done up to this point has been wrong, and we need to just completely throw it out. No, everything is about putting in little carve-outs here. We'll try to, you know, do a little nick on the side here on, okay, well, you know, so we'll get some more Jackson County Housing Authority of Jackson County welfare housing. You know, they'll go from 1,500 properties, what, to 3,000 properties here? And then all of a sudden, homelessness will end at great cost to the few producers left in Jackson and Josephine County. Yeah, same sort of thing in Joe County. We now have about half of Josephine County's residents, according to State Rep Yunker, on welfare health care now, Oregon Health Plan. And that's, of course, coordinated through All Care. And you always have to suspect the nonprofit world. And by the way, they're not nonprofit world's not being sinister about it. They're just working their business model. Same with the jails, same with the sheriffs. And, you know, nothing about this, as the Republicans beat their chest after the, now I'm not saying all of them, but remember, how many newsletters did you get from various politicians here in Southwest Oregon talking about, oh, it was a really great session, and we reached across the aisle, we got things done, and we brought some money back home for this and that and the other. Any Republican idea to actually truly get tough on the homelessness and the drug crisis here in Oregon did not make it into any of the bills, including HB 4002 that Hans Albuquerque was writing about. But yet many Republicans voted for it. Well, there's a few good things that are in it, but there's a lot of stuff that's not so great. And we do this wash, rinse, repeat, kabuki theater dance here that you have a handful of legislators. I'll just give an example, like Yunker. And, of course, State Senator Art Robinson, State Senator Dennis Linthicum, other people that voted no against these monstrosities because they saw the problems with it. And they're looked at by the system as the problem. And the other ones that said, oh, yeah, we brought some money home and we voted for HB 4002 and this. You know, we joined the Democrats. They gave Democrats respectability on this. And I'll be really shocked if there's a groundswell of change. There is a possibility. In fact, I'll share another a story here in just a moment that's talking about how many people they estimate will be arrested and put in jail because of House Bill 4002. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. And the numbers sound big, but I'm not so sure they're right. This is the Bill Meyer Show on KMED and KCMD. 770-5633 if you want to join in. You think 4002 is going to help out? Maybe you've taken a look at it. I have my doubts that if someone feels differently about it, please let me know. You want to be, as Lars would say, a naysayer? We can talk about that and more.
The delicious options seem endless at Freddy's Diner.
Okay, here she comes. No hesitation now. I'll go with a sandwich.
Are you ready to order?
Yes, I'm going with the Pastrami Swiss Bacon Club, please.
Excellent. Fresh cut fries, battered fries, sweet potato fries, tater tots, onion rings, JoJo's, or a green salad.
Oh, boy. Would you repeat that?
Tune in next time as our intrepid diner grapples with a dipping sauce.
Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner. Rev up your engines, folks. American Rentier Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Rentier Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
With so many working and doing business from home, it's good to know there's a community business center to help. A Street Print and Parcel is a one-stop shop for everything from large format printing and scanning to blueprints, architectural plans, and shipping. Their Studio 10 expansion offers passport photos, photo mounting, fine art scanning, art reproductions, signs and banners, negative and slide scanning, canvas prints, and so much more. Located in Ashland on A Street across from Ashland Hardware. Their motto, we create it, print it, pack it, and ship it. A Street Print and Parcel and Studio 10.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley big bucks over the years on local fun. Get a family four-pack of wildlife safari tickets, normally $96, now half off. Children's Museum of Southern Oregon, one adult and one child admission, normally $20, only $10. Violets and Cream in Jacksonville and Medford, get a $25 certificate for only $18. This and much more available exclusively at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on Oregon, EDeals.com. I'm saving big.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
24 after 6, 770-5633 to join in. Always happy to get your take here. Oh, Davey Galloway. I don't know who this clown is, but he writes occasionally. LOL, Meyer indirectly trashing Walden on bipartisanship, but won't do it to her face. No, I'm relatively polite about that sort of stuff, Davey. And I've been pretty consistent on this, and I have, you know, talked to her about the whole idea of giving the, you know, about giving the sheen of bipartisan respectability to it. She knows I disagree with her on that. Okay, and now if you just want me to set her on fire, that's not really my style. Okay, 770-5633. Yeah, Kim and I don't agree on this kind of stuff. I don't agree on most of what she voted for on this. And even she said it's not adequate. It's not it's proper. Even she said that, you know, when she'd be on the show during the session. OK. The difference, though, is that they still voted for it anyway, and they'll still make claims for it. And these are going to be bad bills. Well, these aren't going to be. They're going to be. They are bad bills. And rather than just saying no, and letting the Democrats get, you know, they're going to get what they want, Davey, and everybody else who's listening this morning. They control the entire process. They control the entire function of Salem government right now because of their majority, because of numbers. It's a math issue, okay? So if there's a good idea from the Republicans, it's not going to get into the bill. So let the Democrats vote for their bills. Let them vote for the bills, and then they own them. As it is right now, in my opinion, there is a this system of go along to get along here because you don't want to look obstructionist. And I think that's really what's going on there because, you know, you don't want to go up in front of the chamber and talk about everything that you voted no on. It doesn't sound so productive because everyone's a collectivist now, right? I guess that's, you know, the myth that we're all supposed to be buying into right now. What is truly needed, in my opinion, once again. This is my opinion. Now, I'm not a state rep. I know it's very difficult to be a state rep or a state senator because there's a lot of interest groups coming after you and a lot of lobbying that goes on, all right? Both sides of the aisle, too. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. I would consider it to be pretty difficult. But given that the entire process and everything that's put in these bills, including HB 4002, if there was something good from a Republican, it never made it out of committee, never made it into the bill, and the Democrats didn't need the votes. So Republicans would have been wiser, in my opinion, this is my opinion, that to just have voted no on all of it. Let the Democrats carry it, and if it works, okay, well, Democrats get a win. But Republicans know instinctively, at least most common sense people do, that it won't work. just a little baby tiptoeing towards some drug recriminalization is really not going to be enough of a stick for many of these people. Okay? Now, OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, Oregon Pravda, if you want to call it that, their drug penalties, they say, 4002, it says, would mean a surge in convictions, jail stints, state estimates suggest. So the state is claiming that 1,333 people will be convicted of drug possession, and 533 could go to jail every year under House Bill 4002. The numbers suggest that the system Oregon lawmakers envision to replace Measure 110 will only go so far. That's really interesting because even OPB, Oregon Pravda Broadcasting, says that we'll only go so far. 1,333 people convicted. Okay, that sounds like a lot, right? Ooh, 1,333 people. You know what, 50 or 60 people in each county? Now, I know we'll have more in Jackson than perhaps Josephine County would have. We're talking about population and this and that and the other. But 533 could go to jail. 533. We could probably have 533 drug-addicted folks here in Southern Oregon just in Jackson and Josephine County go to jail. If we were just going back to the days of, hey, you had the drugs, you went to jail. But that's not what this is going to do. We're talking about 533 for the entire state. You could probably have 533 going to jail just in Multnomah County in a week, in 1 week. You see what I'm getting at? You know, the numbers sound big, but remember, we're talking 4.2, 4.3 million people. 533 out of that, and you know, these drug-addicted, raving, lunatic, homeless types that are just not able to function without the drugs and enabling the trafficking and the cartels and everything else. It's pretty thin gruel. And like I was mentioning before the break, the challenge of this when the Republicans vote for it is that then even the Republicans are bought, you know, have the appearance of having bought in, and they're probably going to want to defend it, right? They're going to want to defend it. I don't know if Kim Wallen and the other ones are going to say, yeah, I voted yes on House Bill 4002, although I know that it didn't really, it's really not going to solve the problem, right? And she as much said so when I would talk to her on the various Tuesdays, all right? But they're going to defend it. Because they voted for it. Because otherwise, what? Okay, so you voted for something that you knew wasn't going to work. It's not going to be a very wise political campaigning little chit, okay? I'm just saying, all right? So it would have been better off to have been like the Art Robinsons and the Dennis Linthicums, and you just vote no on it. You vote no on it, let the Democrats hang themselves on something. And then, okay, are you ready to actually listen to a few ideas that might actually work? Here's a few Republican ideas, put them in the bill. That didn't happen. 770-563-3770-KMED. We can talk about that, anything else on your mind here, too. 630, let me go to the phones. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. I have no idea if we have raving lunatics or not. We'll find out. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hello, this is another raving lunatic.
Oh, welcome back, sir. How are you?
Checking out pretty good. Let's see. Speaking of voting to go along to get along, the Rock of Gibraltar in my shoe is the Ashland City Council. It's probably going to rubber stamp the 5G ordinance today. And it's so terrible that they would go ahead and do something like that because there's so much evidence that this is not a healthful idea. There's so much evidence that 5G... it's not the way to go. They really don't need it. You can get all you need from 4G and so forth.
Tom, the people who are fighting 5G are truly the, they need the patron saint of lost causes. They are the patron saint. They need the patron saint of lost causes to help them out here. I have mentioned to you several times how, you know, you're either going to sue over something like this or you're done. Because remember, this is there's not a whole lot that the city is going to do to resist this, given the federal jurisdiction, the primacy, you know, over this kind of thing. And I keep saying this, and people are acting as if it doesn't mean anything. And
I agree with you 100% there.
All right.
Bill, because I don't agree that the FCC has jurisdiction over local like this. But
yeah, well, the FCC is happy to foist a whole ton of lawyers on to local city councils that would tend to disagree.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so the city council are quaking in their shoes because they have problems. I don't know if you've seen the article in the Rogue Valley Times, but they're going to have extra cops there at the meeting and so forth. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, this is a legal issue that if people want to change it, they're going to have to come up with some money and challenge it. But
all right, now here is the real crux of it. Even in pure, you know, we're going to have non-GMO and we're going to have organic everything and we're going to go with gangrene in Ashland, they want their cell phones to work. Okay.
Yes. You're right.
I'm just telling you. You know, if you want, you're either going to want your cell phones to work or you don't. If you want your 5G cell phone so you can have the Internet of Things, so that the surveillance state can surveil the tires as they go by, you know, the traffic readers. Hey, you know, you think I'm kidding about this, but remember Catherine Albrecht? I used to interview here a number of years ago. The RFID chip and things like that. You know.
Oh yeah.
That's the sort of thing. Everything. The Internet of Things is all about 5G, and the thing is, the vast majority of the people want it, so you're up against that, okay?
Yeah, there are probably more people that want 5G than are opposed 5G, and that's because of the vast ignorance of what's going on. No one's really looked scientifically at the multiple sources of microwave coming at us from all different directions. So this idea of completely saturating Ashland with 5G is going to have some pretty dire consequences from everything that I see.
Well, look at it this way. Okay, if they truly are going to saturate the brains of Ashland residents with 5G, you know, maybe we'll have less call for the gangrene thing, because, you know, the gangrene thing, you're going to need an awful lot of power to run these 5G and artificial intelligence networks. So, you know, they're going to have to get in line.
Well, maybe they'll end up, you know, the gangrene gang will, you know, pass away. So
yeah, they'll cook. Yeah, their brains get cooked. All right. Oh, Tom. Yeah. Like I said, I wish I had great news about something like that. But yeah, this is truly something in which local action on something like that is a tough circle for a city council to square, so to speak.
I wonder if they've been presented with so much evidence that 5G is not very helpful. And I just wonder if they could individually be sued for, you know, I'm talking 2 or 3 years out, individually be sued for passing an ordinance where they had evidence of harm.
I don't think so, because I think you're going to be talking once again about believe the science. And it's going to be the science that the FCC and the federal government uses, not the science that the European Union does.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like I said, you know, you either get together big people with big dollars and you get Elon Musk to help. You know, Elon Musk wouldn't help you sue over something like this. He wants the AI surveillance state.
He's the one to push it.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Because otherwise, how can you have your self-driving Tesla, all right? All right. But anyway, great way to start off, pebble in your shoe. I mean, at least Rock of Gibraltar, right? Boulder of Gibraltar.
There you go. Rock of Gibraltar.
In your shoes. 770-5633. Thanks, Don. Let me go to line two. Hi, KMED, KCMD. Good morning.
This is Mike, Dave.
Yes, Dave.
My pet peeve is all that government housing going into Jackson County. Does it take it off the tax rolls because it's now government owned? And now it makes it worse because it puts a burden on everybody that is paying taxes. Now, of course, I'm not paying any taxes. I don't make enough money.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got concerns about people that I love in the Rogue Valley getting hurt because their taxes got to go up to pay for free housing for somebody like me.
Well, there it's an interesting issue that you bring up there, because it is true. We already had, even on the Housing Authority of Jackson County, they have grown from 200 to over 1,500 properties. Those 1,500 properties, of course, I would imagine those would be under a tax-exempt kind of status, right? I don't see any reason why they would be government-owned and controlled and the government paying taxes to itself. That wouldn't make sense, would it?
No, it wouldn't. But, you know, that's the plan, is to get everybody out of their homes. The government owns nothing.
That's interesting, Dave. interesting that you bring that up. fact, I have to find this story here in just a moment. I found a story of something. Thanks for the call, Miner Dave. Speaking of that housing. Oh, here it is. I'm going to hit this. I see that the Downtown Medford Association wants to put on a Zoom meeting a week from today. They were advertising this, and it has to. It's called a Strong Towns Vision for Medford. And I'll share that with you because, you know, this whole idea of what is this vision of Southern Oregon? What does the Downtown Association think of? I think you might be surprised. They're kind of looking at the way we are right now as a mistake. And it raises a few alarm flags for me, especially in all this talk of climate-friendly, equitable community and such. I'll grab one more call, though, before news here, and then we'll move along, and then I'll talk about the Strong Towns vision. Hi, KMED, KCMD, good morning. Hi, who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Anonymous.
Okay. Hello, Anonymous. How are you?
Good. Hey, I have a couple thoughts for you. First of all, in Ashland, if we put the 5G tower up and then off of Lithia Park, we go ahead and build like one of the homeless tent camps.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, this will really get them. We put up a bunch, we put in a whole bunch of greasy food, fast food places.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Just when you talk about fast food in Ashland, heads are exploding right now, Anonymous. As you're speaking.
And then they would maybe move further north.
Oh.
So.
You know, I never thought about fighting the homelessness situation by implanting fast food in downtown Ashland.
Well, both. We have to do all three of them.
Okay, and so 5G and greasy fast food, okay? And that will then we'll have relocating homelessness people.
They will move.
Okay. All right.
And then my other thought for you, you know, I listen every morning, and Tom is so thoughtful, and his whenever he calls in, everything he has to say is so well put together. You might consider, when you're absent, I think Tom would be a great guest to sit in for you.
Oh, that'd be really interesting. We couldn't just talk about 4G or 5G all week, though, okay?
No.
All right.
He would have other. He's very well versed, and I don't know him, but he's very well versed.
I know Tom very well, and he is indeed. Well, you know, he used to be a talk show host many years ago.
Oh, I think I'm serious. You put Hugh Hewitt on, and I think if you had Tom on in the morning when you were gone, everybody would be happy.
We'll take it under consideration. Appreciate the call. Okay. Thank
take
you, Anonymous.
Bye bye.
24/7 on KMED, KCMD. Let's catch up on the rest of it now. News sponsored by Caveman Heating and Air. It's the climate and we control it. Call Caveman Heating and Air at 541-476-0009 or cavemanheating.com.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. No winner in Monday night's Powerball drawing means the jackpot has jumped once again. The Powerball jackpot increased to an estimated $1.09 billion after no one matched the six numbers drawn Monday night. The next drawing will be Wednesday night. Then, the Klamath Falls man accused of kidnapping a woman from Seattle and holding her in a makeshift cell in his home was in federal court in Medford Monday, requesting all charges be dismissed. Negasi Zuberi was initially charged with felony kidnapping and attempting to escape from Jackson County Jail after his arrest in mid-July. In court, Zuberi requested all charges be dismissed because of destruction of evidence and alleged lack of federal jurisdiction over the case. Instead of dismissing the charges, the judge and defense attorneys approved filing date extensions out to April 22nd. Then, Shore Acres State Park is looking for volunteers this year for its volunteer days. You can join the Rangers in caring for the gardens from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., on the third Friday of every month from April through September. The tasks vary depending on the season, but could include cleaning out the pond, pruning roses, trimming shrubs, planting, and helping to remove invasive species. For more information, Google Shore Acres Volunteer Days to fill out forms. For local news anytime, head on over to our website, kobi5.com, or our Facebook, KOBI-TV NBC5. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Serna.
Severe storms like the one in Willamette Valley this winter should make property owners take stock in tree safety. Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Dead or weak limbs or unstable, old trees can cause property damage and worse. If you have trees that you think may pose a problem, please have them evaluated. At Quality Tree Service, we love trees, but some may need maintenance or removal. Call me today, your ISA certified arborist, and I will provide an honest assessment of potential hazards. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
When concrete around your home sinks, it's never pretty, and it's usually not safe either. Terra Firma has the solution. We can inject safe, expanding foam through a hole smaller than a dime and lift existing concrete sidewalks, steps, patios, and more. Best of all, there's no mess, and you can walk or drive on the repair in just 15 minutes. So for a solution to sinking concrete at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, call Terra Firma for a safe, clean concrete repair.
He's dropping back to pass.
Hey, over here! I'm open!
And he throws. Ugh, that's my wife's car.
That's gonna leave a mark.
Dude, it's more than a mark.
I gotta go. Good luck with that.
Hey, honey, what you looking at?
Oh.
Accidents happen. That's why we're here. Lithia Body and Paint. From minor dings and scratches to major collision repair, Lithia Body and Paint will get you back on the road like it never happened. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET and 99.3 KCMD.
Open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday or Rock of Gibraltar in Your Sandal if you're Tom from Talent, okay? 770-5633-770-KMED. Yesterday was April Fool's Day, and my company specifically says you are never allowed to do anything involving April Fool's joke. You know, you can't do April Fool's anything, all right? So we don't. Although the news reads quite often like April Fool's headlines. So you could be, you know, excused. But since we're outside of April Fool's Day now, I can share with you my all-time, my favorite, at least for April Fool's 2024, my favorite news release, my favorite fake news release for April Fool's, because it reads like reality. It's like a Babylon Bee thing, but it actually came from Oregon Parents' Rights, OregonParentsRights.com. And I love this because it reads, whoever wrote this, I think, used to work for the government, Oregon government. The headline: Governor Tina Kotek appoints wife Amy Kotek Wilson as czar of family values and religious beliefs. In a historic move, Governor Tina Kotek has appointed Amy Kotek Wilson, her wife, as the inaugural czar of family values and religious beliefs for the state of Oregon. This unprecedented appointment reflects the administration's commitment to promoting the well-being of Oregon families and respecting the diverse religious beliefs that enrich our state. Amy Kotek Wilson, holding advanced degrees in social work and a robust history of community service, brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to this role. Amy's academic credentials and professional background, combined with her deep commitment to family and faith, make her uniquely suited for this position, said Governor Kotek. She has long been a champion for the most vulnerable among us, advocating for mental health, addiction recovery, and the importance of strong family bonds. In her new role, Kotek Wilson will lead efforts to integrate family values and religious perspectives into broader state policies, ensuring that programs and initiatives across Oregon reflect its residents' moral and ethical diversity. She stated, "I am honored to take on this role. Our goal is to create a more inclusive, respectful, and supportive Oregon where every family feels valued and every individual's beliefs are acknowledged." Kotek Wilson further emphasized the constitutional foundation of her mission, saying, "Religious beliefs and family values are at the heart of the Oregon Constitution. As a proud lesbian and First Lady of Oregon, I believe the strength of family values that embrace and celebrate diversity. Our work will reflect the respect of all families and faiths and make Oregon a beacon of inclusivity." The state has allocated $250,000 in funding to ensure the success of this pivotal role. The investment will cover a full-time security detail and a dedicated staff to assist Kotek Wilson in her efforts. The significant investment underscores our commitment to enhancing the communities of religious beliefs and family values across Oregon, the governor's office stated. We are confident that this initiative will yield substantial benefits for the well-being and unity of Oregonians. Kotek Wilson plans to work closely with community leaders, faith-based organizations, and family advocacy groups to develop new programs that support families and encourage interfaith dialogue. Among her first initiatives, Family and Faith Listening Tour, aimed at gathering insights and priorities directly from Oregonians over across all walks of life. This appointment has garnered support from various quarters, with many praising the governor's office for recognizing the importance of family values and religious beliefs in public policy. The governor's office is confident that Kotek Wilson's appointment will herald a new era of policymaking in Oregon, which strongly emphasize the core value that unites us as a community and a state. Okay. I just love that. It's whoever wrote this obviously worked for the state of Oregon at some point, because that's the way all their press releases sound. Kind of nice-sounding word salads. And, yeah, you could imagine the first wife, the first lady, whatever you want to call her, lecturing Christians on family values, I'm sure. That would be just peachy, wouldn't it? 770-5633, Crazy Gene's here. Hello, Gene. Even you get a chance to weigh in on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking this morning about all the monsters, all the beasts, and where do they come from? And I was just thinking that possibly we seem to want to create our own monsters and beasts, because if there is none, I guess fear is something that we have to live under.
Hmm. Fear is something that we have to. Well, isn't fear, an actual sort of natural response to, you know, the threat? You know, the threat response.
Well, yeah.
You know, because everybody wants to keep living. That's a big part of our life, you know.
Well, maybe it's the adrenaline. Maybe we're just bored, so we have to create the monster of government, which we ran from over here.
Oh, now you see, that's different. You see, that's a different way of looking at it. That's it. That's an interesting. See, the light bulb went off over my head, or pardon me, the LED went off over my head. You know, because that's it. Life is so good, you had to create the monster known as government to keep chasing you, keep you in line.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting way of looking at it, Gene. Thanks for the call. 770-5633. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Hello.
Bill, is that me?
Yep, got you. Who's this?
Matt.
Hey, Matt, what's up, buddy?
Hey, nice press release. Here's what I heard.
Yeah, by the way, that was a fake press release. I just want to make sure people understand. That was a total fake, but it read exactly like the gruel that comes out of the state cloaca every day.
Oh, you're bumming me out. So that wasn't real?
No, that wasn't real. No.
Well, because I don't think the governor makes enough money, and I think something like that, some kind of a program like that, would really help her to increase her income.
Oh.
You know, now that fast food workers in California are going to make $75 an hour, I think it's a good idea that the governor can make an extra two and a quarter.
Yeah,
like that. That would be fantastic.
And then, well, you know, we do have that this situation right now where the governor doesn't make all that much money. It's not a big money, but boy, everybody sure fights to make not much money. There must be some other perks involved with being governor, huh?
I wonder what those would be. Personal security. Uh-huh. She's probably paying a different price for a McDonald's hamburger than we are.
Yeah. And I would also add that unlike the rest of us, she doesn't worry about fossil fuel problems, because they have big generators that, back up power at the governor's mansion. Okay.
Well, that would be fantastic. I think they should have a backup power program for free generators for everybody.
Uh-huh. Actually, they did some of that, or there was something about it. I think it has to do with wildfire resilience. I'm sure there's some grant stream funding for this. Okay.
Well, and there's nothing better than having 4.2 million people running generators with the fire.
What could go wrong? Well, that kind of goes back to the talk the other week about how the Pentagon wants to have all electric tanks and all electric vehicles out there in the battlefield. And so the only way they could figure out to charge them on the battlefield was to get a portable generator that's powered by jet fuel. And so, well, why wouldn't you just run the tank and jeeps on jet fuel, right? Yeah.
I just had a brainstorm, you know, but there has to be a way for us to sequester all the burning forest into some sort of a power source. If we could just take the fires and somehow, you know, put big water tanks in the forest, while the forest is burning, it could heat up the water, create steam, and turn a turbine.
Oh,
Oh, what do you think about that?
Oh, that is in other words, turn the burning forest. And remember, the Greens want the forest to burn in the summertime because it's restoring, right?
Well, yeah. And to think you could create energy with that. You know, it's as smart as taking the vent off of your dryer in your house and pointing it into the living room.
Uh-huh.
So while you're drying your clothes, you can also be heating your house.
Yeah, and also putting lots of moisture in your home, too.
Mm. Hey, one more thing on the market. You know, the stock market's down today.
Now, this is 2 days in a row that it has been down. I think doesn't this have to do, since you are a market guy, all right, and I'll trust your acumen on something like that, aren't we looking at a situation in which the inflation numbers are coming in hotter, so the assumption is that the Fed's not going to put the punch bowl back into play as quickly?
Correct. And it was a fool's errand to believe that a little bit of relief that we saw. When I first heard that there were going to be 6 rate cuts this year, mm-hmm. I mean, all I'm doing is going to the gas station and the grocery store. And just going to those 2 places, which we all do, everybody listening to you,
yep.
does the same thing, you know, gas station a couple of times a week at least, and grocery store at least 1 or 2 times a week. You don't have to be a genius to figure out that interest rates aren't going down and the Fed isn't going to be making any cuts. I would be, and I know it's an election year, and I know the Fed is political.
And so there will be a cut at some point. There will be a cut at some point. I don't think there's going to be 6, though. Do you?
Well, they're already, Wall Street's given up on 6.
Oh, okay.
3. Mm-hmm. And so the first cut was going to be in May. No, now it's going to be in June. You can't look at the economic numbers and, again, go to the store and the gas station and believe for 1 second that the Fed is going to make a cut anytime soon. They can't. Mm-hmm. They can't make a cut. And I've argued this before on your show and even with my own subscribers. Grandma needs to be able to walk into a bank and get a 1-year 5% CD. That is optimal. I know people in the real estate business don't like it. Everybody wants interest rates to be at 2.25 or 2.5 or 2.75. The fact is that is not normal. It is not a good place to be for the economy generally. The markets can rally, inflation can come down, and you can still have 5% yields on short-term money.
People should be able to put their money into a bank, into a secure bank, and still get 5%. I was getting it when I was a kid, all right?
Yep. And the economy did fine.
Yeah.
The economy did fine at 5%. Everything will adjust. I've worked the numbers. The fact is, if you're buying a home, you're better off buying a cheaper home with higher interest rates than buying a more expensive home with lower rates, because the price of the house is the price of the house. And if it's too high, you never pay it off. There's 2 reasons to own a home in my eyes. One is to pay it off and eventually have no house payment, no rent, nothing. So in your retirement, you're not kicking out $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month when you're 65, 75 years old. So paying off a house is a goal. The other reason, of course, is equity appreciation. Is rather than paying rent, it's being able to get your foot in the door. So if inflation goes up, housing prices go up, you actually can increase your, and then especially like you wanted to go someplace else, move to a different state, having rising house prices.
You sell out and then take your loot elsewhere. I guess the point being, though, is that the entire real estate system has been priced in right now based on, 2-3% interest rates. I mean, the pricing that we're seeing, we are starting to see some cracking going on. But I'll just tell you about my situation here. In my house, I think my monthly nut that I pay for mortgage, and I don't have mortgage insurance, but also taxes, payment, mortgage, all that other stuff. The entire payment each month is about $1,600 for a pretty decent home, okay?
Yeah.
I could not rent a crap shack townhouse for that in town these days. I just couldn't do it. And there's no way I could sell that right now. And improve myself by staying around here. See what I'm getting at?
And the fact is, you made the right decision when you bought, because now you've locked in, we'll just say rent. I know it's a house payment, but you locked in your rent. You said, look, this is what I'm going to be paying, and so I know what my expense is. When you're renting, you are at the mercy of the market. But once you've bought the house, you've locked in. And again, I know realtors, my whole family were real estate agents in California. It's better if prices of homes are lower. And the fact is, there'll be some places where they'll be inflated. But for the most part, and real estate is regional, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, if interest rates across the country are higher, real estate across the country can come down outside of the most desirable places to live. Like, if, for example, if you want to live in the, you know, the better, bigger cities or whatever, in, you know.
Yeah, you're still going to have to pay a premium to do that. Now, I agree with you that ultimately, I think one of the worst things that ever happened to America is the 30-year mortgage. I really do. And because that led to the bubble in the assets, really, because the longer you're able to leverage it or pay it off, then you're just talking about payment, right? Okay, what's my monthly payment rather than what does the house actually cost? You know, is my house in East Medford actually worth, $450,000 or whatever Zillow says? No, I don't think so. It's only worth $450,000 because somebody, or maybe $400,000 now. It's probably dropped a little bit, but it was insane compared to what I paid for it back 7-8 years ago. Okay. Is it really worth that, or is it worth it because someone can get a loan for it at 2% or 3% for 30 years? You see what I'm getting at, right?
I agree 100% with what you're saying, and that's why I'm actually not freaking out. Look, I wish gas prices were cheaper. I wish grocery store prices were cheaper. That's better for everybody. You know, there's two parts of the inflation. The other part of it is production. You know, if you increase efficiency, you increase production, you make goods and services cheaper, then inflation can come down from that, and you can still see higher interest rates. You don't have to. This is it's one of the many things that annoys me about the Fed. You don't have to crash the market or crash the economy to bring down inflation. You just don't. But for some reason, you know, the Federal Reserve, and again, I think it's all political. You know, Woodrow Wilson started this whole thing. You know, I hate that guy more and more. The more I read about him, I just hate the guy. He's a big reason why we are where we are now. I mean, people had to vote for it, but he's a problem. But the Federal Reserve was supposed to, you know, steady prices and look at employment.
Well, what it's doing right now, though, is that when it wants to fight inflation, which was created by government, right, by government policy, it crushes the private sector. It crushes the little people under the guise of fighting inflation that it itself created.
I mean, think about the philosophy behind that.
Well, yeah. Well, isn't the philosophy about keeping assets high? The whole idea is to keep the fake economy of the so-called market high, isn't it?
It's not just the market, but they're micromanaging it now. It's like you can't micromanage the economy. You just can't. Here's what's crazy about it. So you have the financial crisis, and that gets out of hand. Well, you know, everybody listening to your show already knows that. I'm going to talk about it forever.
Yeah,
everybody knows that. But and then what happened with COVID? What happened with, you know, the pullback and all of this stuff? For the Fed to manage this, to micromanage it, is insane. The fact is, people will adjust and people will make decisions, and those decisions can move the economy without the Fed having to do everything. You know, and what annoys me is cheap money creates the bubble, and then when you have the crash, whether it's real estate, the stock market, the economy, then the Fed steps in, like in this case in inflation, and they stab the economy in the back, and it's just what you said. You know, you create the problem, and then to fix it, and when they're stabbing the economy in the back, it's you, Bill, it's me, it's all of your listeners. They're the ones they're stabbing in the back.
I know. Larry Fink over at BlackRock is not panicking. Larry Fink at BlackRock will have his checkbook out, won't he?
That's right. Yep, that's right, because he's got the money to step in and take advantage of all of these things. And by the way, I love the fact that Texas took away the punch bowl for him, and I forget how many billions of dollars they took away, but Texas basically said, yeah, you're not managing our money. And Fink started freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, oh, well, you know, you're doing this to the harm of the Texas pension plan because, you know, we get a good return for the money, blah, blah, blah. And Texas is like, yeah, but we're not interested in this.
Look, yeah, we're not interested in your ESG and your backdoor takeover, you know, of the world. But still, the central banks here are backing up the market. And I mean, and I have some money in the market, and you've got money in the market too, and things like this. But ultimately, they seem to be managing it not for the greater economy, for a real economy, but for the paper economy. Am I right or wrong about that?
Yeah, you're right.
And it ends up funding, and the cheap money, the whole idea of the Fed backing the cheap money, is you're able to get a lot of the grift in, like the Green New Deal, all the rest of this stuff that would never get financing if it had to attract financing at a decent interest rate or rate of return. It just wouldn't.
Look at Tesla's stock today.
What happened? Has it gone down?
It's getting whacked.
Oh, it is.
It's getting whacked. And the thing is, all of this stuff, the micromanaging of the economy, everyone listening to you knows it's insane. Mm-hmm. We don't need it, you know, and it's at the county level, too. We don't need the county to do everything. We don't need them to be involved in absolutely everything that we do. You know, the people, subsidiarity. I know you know the word. I brought it up on your show before. The fact is, if you want something to run properly, you need to allow the microeconomies, which is the household, to manage their own economy. And if everybody manages their own economy, then the government doesn't do more. They do less because you don't need them.
But the government wants to do more because it's job security. And that's why we have this situation where we have right now. Hey, Matt, I appreciate it. I always love your calls. I enjoy your call. Very thoughtful. And I know we dug into a whole bunch of stuff there on Pebble in Your Shoe.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. You take care. It's a couple minutes after 7. And if you're on hold, I'll get to your call here in just a moment. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford at 99.3 KCMD Grants Pass.